This week, we're going to be focusing on one of the key factors of us as a church and one of our guiding principles, that as followers of Jesus Christ, we are to be formed in Christ for the sake of others and the glory of God. So the question that we're asking today is, who are those others? Well, Jesus was asked a very similar question when a man came to him and said, "Who is my neighbor?" And Jesus went on to tell the story of the Great Samaritan, of the Good Samaritan. So we're today asking not only who are these others, but how can I help those others? What would you have me do, Lord, to touch their lives? Recently, there is an ongoing refugee crisis in Europe and the Middle East, and it has forced each one of us to ask the question, is this my brother? Is this my sister? And if so, how can I help? Well, a study of Scripture reminds us that there are certain groups that hold a special place in God's heart. They include the widow, the orphan, and the refugee. So today, we're going to get to see that out of our own congregation, God called Ken and Lisa Durham. Ken was a firefighter. Lisa was involved in banking. And after going on a short-term trip to Athens and seeing the work that was going on there, they chose to full-time join that team at the Athens Refugee Center. And so we're going to get to see a video that shows a week in their life, what they do and how they impact the others. So if we could show that right now, that would be great.
There's a place near Ammonia in the heart of Athens, Greece, that feels a bit like home to those who have none. Most days, a small crowd of people gather. They come as strangers, walking foreign streets in a foreign land to reach that place where all are welcome. It is not foreigners who fill the chairs or aliens who are served a hot meal. But in that place, they are friends, brothers and sisters, human beings with precious dignity. This place is Helping Hands. Each Tuesday at Helping Hands, we prepare a meal for around 130 Farsi-speaking refugee friends. These families come to the center for a delicious hot meal and tea. Here's a look at just one of those special Tuesdays. This Tuesday, the staff worked together to prepare the meal, and we were able to give spaghetti, sauce, and pita bread to each refugee friend, even the littlest ones. Sharing a meal is also an opportunity to build relationships and have conversations about Christianity. After the meal, the adults are invited to watch an evangelistic message in Farsi and participate in discussion, while the children stay for an hour which closely resembles a Sunday school time. We'd have crafts and games centered around a Bible passage. It's wonderful to provide a space where these kids can just be kids. Wednesdays are ladies' shower days. A group of about 12 women and their children come to shower and cook a meal together. These days provide the most personal opportunities for evangelism and relational ministry. We've been able to build intimate relationships through the safety that these women-only days provide. On Thursdays, the team divides and conquers. We spend the day using the unique gifts the Lord has given us. Some teach Greek or English classes. Some visit the homes of the refugees. Some take children to the beach in the summertime, or perhaps navigate the confusing Greek legal system for a refugee friend who needs help with their papers. The week ends with Tea House Day. Each Friday morning, gallons and gallons and gallons of hot tea are brewed, and we open our doors to the community. We see many new faces on these days. And this means many new refugee friends hear the gospel each Friday. Most refugee moms have many kids, all close together in age. So they love to drop off their children in either the children's room or in the baby room to play with Lisa for a couple hours, while they rest and chat with other women, including the staff and refugee believers who answer their quiet, earnest questions about Christianity. The Afghan believer community here is thriving. This group of Christians has bonded together and supports each other in tremendous, inspiring ways, despite being ostracized from their communities and families. There are several Bible studies meeting throughout the week, and we have been greatly encouraged by the depth of the questions these new believers are asking. They're bold in sharing their faith with others, especially their Muslim neighbors. Helping Hands also has seasonal programs such as Refugee Family Camp and Refugee Men's Camp. We partner with other Christian organizations in Athens for these two special weeks in June. The camp takes this group of weary people and gives them consistent food, shelter, and fun. And over the course of each week, campers receive over 21 hours of Bible study about Jesus Christ. The impact of these weeks is tremendous, and we cherish this time where we can see the life come into the eyes of our dear friends. Men and women who would not stick their toes in the water take swimming lessons and ride tubes behind jet skis. They learn archery and climb up rock walls, challenging themselves despite the years of discrimination they faced, and showed the world that they've got worth and beauty and strength. Toddlers who wouldn't leave their mom on the first night of camp show up on the last night and demand more Play-Doh time. The last morning of camp brought a sweet time of a baptism. A dear friend of many ladies on our staff became a sister in Christ as the golden sun rose over the sea. There continues to be a dramatic increase in the number of refugees arriving here in Greece. In the first half of 2015, 68,000 refugees arrived by sea in Greece. That's an average of 378 new refugees arriving every day, joining the more than 1 million refugees already in Greece. But there is a place near the heart of Athens, Greece, that feels just a bit like home to those who have none.
Wow. We get to be part of that. Oh. Hundreds of thousands of refugees are attempting the dangerous trip across the Mediterranean from Turkey into Greece. And Athens is what's known as a gateway city. And the Athens Refugee Center is strategically placed to provide tangible opportunities to demonstrate God's love and to proclaim God's word. Recently, Kayla Wachemeyer from our own congregation got to go and be part of that trip. And she's going to come up and she's going to share with us, just a second, we're going to come back to that verse in a minute. Kayla's going to come up and share with us about her time. Now, how long were you there?
I was there for 3 months this summer.
For 3 months, all right? So, you can't tell us all about the whole 3 months, so tell us one family or one interaction that you had with someone that really impacted you.
So over my time there, I saw God working in amazing ways, and one of those was through this one woman we met. I'm just going to call her Sahar, and her husband. And as you saw in the video, the lady being baptized was actually Sahar, and she wanted to be baptized in secret at camp because Muslims, when they become Christians, they can undergo a lot of, like she said, ostracism, and their families might not even want to acknowledge them, and they're known as dirty or traitors to Muslims. And so she was baptized, but we found out later that a lady actually saw the baptism and later on was making fun of her for it and calling her dirty and saying that she was a traitor. But then Sahar was just, faithful Christian. She came in every morning to the Athens Refugee Center early and helped prepare the meals for everyone. And her husband was also amazing. And he went out. He also was baptized at the camp. But he went out and to the parks where the refugees were coming in every day and was just handing out Bibles and preaching the gospel to those people. And we went to a beach a couple weeks after the refugee camp after she got baptized, and the lady that saw her and that was making fun of her actually was at the beach too, and she was talking to her, and she actually apologized for what she had said and said, "I'm interested in learning about Jesus." And this is a huge deal because, especially in the Muslim culture, they easily hold grudges and they don't apologize a lot. And so this was, you could tell God was really working in this woman's life. And then I was at the beach too, and I got to see this believer woman helping this lady that a couple weeks ago had, said these things about her, helping her learn how to swim. And it was just like a really special moment. And so then a couple weeks after that, we found out that this lady did accept Jesus, and she told us she believed everything that we believed in. So such an amazing story of God working in her life.
So the Athens Refugee Center and the people there share and disciple that lady, who almost immediately loves on her enemy and disciples and leads her. Wow. It's a pretty great story. Pretty great story. So why is it important that we're there? Why is it important that we as Rose Drive and we as the larger church are there in Athens?
It's important because it's a huge growing issue right now. Like the video said, refugees are coming in such great numbers. And it's such an amazing opportunity for us as Christians to be spreading the gospel to them, because it's dangerous and it's difficult to go to the Middle East, but they're coming to us now. The Middle East is coming to us, and they're going from Greece and going all around Europe. And so it's a great way for the gospel to be spread. And actually, Christianity Today put out an article that's called "We Are Living in the Midst of the Greatest Turning of Muslims to Christ in History." So this is a time when Muslims are coming to Christ, and we get the chance to be a part of that. So we should be a part of it.
Thanks. Thank you so much. Thank you, Kayla. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. Let's not just talk about love. Let's practice real love. This is the only way we'll know we're living truly, living in God's reality. Amen. Amen. And then one of the things that I've mentioned to you, that there is a special place in God's heart for the alien. In Deuteronomy, it says, "So show your love for the alien, for you were aliens in the land of Egypt." When I look at that, what constantly reminds me is the fact that when Jesus was young, he had to flee to Egypt. So the Lord Jesus was an alien for a part of his life. He was a refugee. And so when the Lord Jesus talks to us about the love of Christ, it includes loving on refugees, loving on people who are displaced, on people that are isolated, and that so desperately need God's love. Next, we're going to travel to Asia, and we're going to see the ongoing refugee crisis that's going on in Burma, sometimes known as Myanmar. Decades of war have displaced over 500,000 people, and that they are no longer able to have basic human needs of clean water, of safety, of medicine, and of education. There are 300,000 Burmese Christians who are living in refugee camps in the Thai border. You probably didn't even know there were 300,000 Burmese Christians. Well, there's more than 2 million Burmese Christians. And yet they are a persecuted group within their own country. So there is an organization called Partners International that seeks to provide tangible love, tangible medicine, education, family building, and sharing the love of Christ to those Burmese refugees. And there were a group of us that got to travel to Thailand and then drive into Burma and to spend time with them. And one of those was DJ Ash. So I'm going to ask DJ to come forward and share that. If you don't already know DJ, yes, that's should be a familiar last name, okay? And DJ now is on staff here at Rose Drive, works with our middle schoolers, and is a student at the Friend Center at Azusa Pacific. So DJ and I got to spend about a week together in the back of a van, and you really get to know somebody really well after spending a week within the van.
Definitely.
Would that be true, sir?
That is definitely
okay,
true.
Okay, yeah. Don't share anything, okay? What happened in the van stays in the van, all right?
Yes.
Okay, so tell me, I know that there are so many experiences that we had there. Share one that was really compelling to you.
Yeah, well, as Greg said, we got to spend a lot of times in vans driving from various places in Thailand to the border and even into Burma. And so we had the great pleasure of getting to go with this family here. This is a lady on the right. Her name is Nana, and then that's her daughter Yim in the middle and her husband. And while we were driving one day, they got to kind of share a little bit of their story, a little bit of the background of their family. And when Yim was just 4 years old, was it 4 years old? Her family's village was burned down to the ground, and forcing them to live in the jungle for about 8 months. And while they were there, they didn't have sufficient food. They didn't have the ability to cook their food due to the fact that if they had fires, the military would see where they were, and that would create big problems. So what I want to talk about is the story of Nana. Now, let me back up and make sure to
tell the story. The people who came in and burned their village down was the military. It was the government that came in and burned their village to the ground, displaced them all, burned their crops, and put mines in the fields of their crops so they would not come back. And this family fled into the jungle. For 8 months they lived there. Share with us that prayer request.
Yeah, so Yim was sharing, she even was here at college group last week, and so she got to share with us that she had one prayer during this time, and that was that her family could have one blanket so they could be warm at night. And so that really puts things into perspective.
It sure does, doesn't it? So tell us about Nana.
So now things are much different, and Nana, she not only has raised her 6 children, but she has taken on a boarding house of 50 or 60 children that she cares for each and every day so that they can go to school. And not only that, but when she's not doing that, she's training medics at a medical clinic that they run that have people come from all over the region that they are in Burma, that send people from their village to come learn so that they can in turn save their villages. And when she's not doing that, she's traveling down to at least 15 different clinics along the border and assisting in any way she can. And so it is just amazing to see how this family, they work together, they're all in it, and it's just the joy they do it with. They welcomed us in with smiles on their faces. They prepared a meal for us amongst all the other things they had to do. And they really showed us how welcome we were in their own place.
Married, displaced, kicked out of her home, lost everything, raises her 6 children. All of them graduate from college. Then decides she's not done. So instead of going to the big city and earning more money and things like that, decides to go back to the border and go into Burma and to operate a boarding house so that 60 children can go to school because if their parents live too far away from the schools, and then trains medical people because she's an RN, and then also supervises and runs 17 clinics along the Thai-Burma border. Literally, when she was telling us that story, we're all just going, wait a sec, there must be a language issue here. That's too much for a 24-hour day. And yet, no problem. Those children get up at 4:30 in the morning to begin their day. Wow. She's just an amazing... So why is it important that we're there?
Well, we are able to support 2 missionaries there, Fran and Lori DeRocher, and this whole organization, Partners Relief and Development, it started from 2 people who went to one of the regions within Burma and saw suffering of just about every kind you can imagine. And they had this vision that they wanted to give a future and full lives to these children who were affected by the conflict there and by the civil war that just tore families apart. So the amount of things that are to do and the amount of impact that we can have by supporting Fran and Lori and people in that organization is incredible because the task is huge. So being able to contribute to that, the ability to help with that is really, really something special. Oh,
thank you. Thank you, DJ. We believe that no border or no barrier at all should stop people from experiencing God's love. That's why we are where others may not normally go. That's why we choose to partner with missionaries who are in remote areas doing amazing work on behalf of us. They are looking for solutions and they are looking constantly for ways to show God's love in a tangible way to impact lives. Next, we're going to go to East Africa. And East Africa has had the longest ongoing conflict in the world. It has sometimes been called World War III or Africa's World War. There are approximately 10 million people that have been killed in a civil war in Congo, and most of us have never heard of it. Well, there's an organization known as Mission Aviation Fellowship that serves in that region. And through aviation and technology, they are able to provide tangible ways in which that country can attempt to recover from the civil war and to bring God's love. And one of the things that strikes you wherever you go in East Africa is the issue of orphans. There are orphans everywhere. And recently, we were able to send a team to East Africa to do a family conference for about 51 people who are part of the MAF team serving in Uganda and in East Congo. And while we were there, we were just being able to provide love, encouragement, some spiritual teaching, and an opportunity to just get to know each other. And it was amazing what we got to see. And one member of that team was Paul Starbeck. So I'm going to have Paul step forward. And Paul, again, I know there's so many different things that you could talk about, but tell us about one of the kids who really touched you.
Well, first I'd just like to say that I got to meet some incredible missionaries that were in all ages and stages of their life. There were some that their kids had grown and moved on. They were thinking about retirement, not ready for it yet, but they're thinking about it. Some had newborns and toddlers. Some had just been on the field a matter of a couple of weeks. A total of 3 family units that had been there less than 6 months. So some of them were brand new. Several of them had adopted children. One of the family units was the Rogers. They had 1 biological child, and they had adopted 5 other children. One of the interesting things is that when they would refer to their age, they would refer to when they joined the family. So it wasn't, sometimes this kid had been there longer than this kid. So that was kind of interesting. But I'd like to tell you about the Forneys, Dave and Joy Forney. They have 5 kids of their own, and Joy's friend one day went into an orphanage, and there in the corner was a little boy huddled there with basically no clothes on, and he just was huddled up and didn't even move, and she just took him. She decided that they would figure out the legalities and the paperwork later. She just took them.
And by the way, that's not illegal. So don't get all, you know, in those situations, if someone was willing to take the child, great, take the child.
And so she started caring for the child, and then she became developed these serious health issues. And so Joy Forney agreed to take him one day a week. And so she took him home and would care for him. And she noticed that every day when she went to take him back, that he would cry. And this really tugged on her heart. And her husband discussed it and decided that they would take him into their home as a part of their family.
A family with 5 children.
Living
in Congo, saying, sure, let's have one more.
So what I didn't tell you is that they named him Gift. He has cerebral palsy, and he's deaf. And so when they got him, he couldn't walk. And in a very short period of time, he was able to walk. They got a range of movement in his arms and hands. And he still has trouble swallowing, so they have to blend up his food. And he drinks it out of a cup. And because he has trouble swallowing, most of it just runs down into a bib that he wears. And then when his cup's empty, he just pours what's in his bib into his cup and starts round two and three and until he's full, and does it with a big smile on his face. But just amazing that this family was willing to adopt this child in the midst of all the other things going on in their lives. They would tell us about, they have a washing machine for the eight of them. And sometimes the electricity's on and sometimes it's not. And sometimes the water runs and sometimes it does not. And so just their willingness in the midst of all of that to adopt this child. I'm sorry. We're going to see some slides in a minute. And when you see a little boy with my daughter Michaela's purple phone, that's gift.
Why is it important that we're there?
You know, I had the opportunity to also meet another family, Timo and Laura Harkonnen. She's actually the pilot in their family. And they adopted two special needs kids from Brazil who are now teenagers. And having to deal with special needs kids in the middle of adolescence. But I had the opportunity to talk with her about flying in adverse conditions, thunderstorms, trying to avoid lightning strikes, having to land other places and wait out the storm, emergency evacuations of pregnant women or a child who has serious injuries, bringing in pastors and missionaries who otherwise would waste days traveling there rather than ministering at their mission site. These are people who are truly living out the Great Commission, and especially that last part, and onto the ends of the earth.
Amen. Thank you, Paul, so much. Because of you, missionaries like Larry and Cheryl Stritzel, who are part of that team, are able to be there and to provide tangible ways to touch Eastern Congo. There's so many more of the story that I could tell you, like the fact that the Fornays had already spent 10 years in Papua New Guinea, and then when their work was done there, instead of coming back to the United States, said, "Where do you need us to go next?" And they came to Congo. That we could tell you about the joy that you see when these kids are playing. And one of the touching things was every one of those kids, and there were, 25 kids that we got to be with, loved on gift. Just included him, involved him, he was one of their buddies. That's the love of Christ being lived out throughout the world, and we get the privilege of being part of that. I love this church. Let me say that again. I love this church. This is a congregation that is so generous. And so I'm going to talk to you unabashedly for a moment about missions. If you are already part of our missions program, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. I hope that you have the joy in the Lord of being part of that program like all of us up here have, for getting to see the tangible ways in which your faith promise dollars are impacting the world. And so, thank you. And if you're not part of our missions giving here at Rose Drive, let me encourage you to do that. There will be a new level of joy that God will give you in your life because of that. I will say without reservation, you will never regret doing it. So we're now going to watch, and we're going to end our time together, by we're going to watch some pictures from that conference that Paul and I were at. And what I'd ask you to do is to focus on a couple of things. One, look at their faces and look at the joy in their faces. This is a really, really tough place to live and minister in. And yet they are just joyous. Second of all, every African child that you see there is an orphan who has been adopted. All right? And every African that you see is part of the MAF team that is ministering there. So it's just not the West to the rest, but it is all the world. And many of those Africans are Africans from other countries who have come to minister in Congo. So we're going to end our time by watching and listening to this video. So thanks very much.